a bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there. I know you're down there. I know you're down there.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have a lot of fun. We're going to have a fishing party today. First of all, our co-host today is Pat McDonald, editor of the Western Outdoor News. We'll talk about it a bit later, but you've got to have, what, about 50,000 subscribers to that, or people that read that?
Oh, right, yeah. It's a weekly newspaper, but we also have the website, and that's growing 20% every year, so we're pretty happy about that as well.
Well, that's that age, isn't it? But right now, for the next 10 minutes, we're going to focus on Loresa. And if you don't already know her, then you need to tune in to NBC Sports. And when is that on, Loresa?
Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I show Loresa Unleashed.
Okay, and the name of the show is Unleashed?
Loresa Unleashed.
Loresa Unleashed. Okay, that sounds good. That sounds great. Well, Loresa, let's talk a little bit about what you do. And one of the reasons that we want to have you on is not only are you an expert in a lot of different areas in the outdoors, but quite obviously you're a woman.
I'm glad you noticed. I have a female hunting and fishing television show. It's called Loresa Unleashed, and as you said, on NBC Sports, it's airing now at 3:30 p.m. Eastern. And my whole mission with this, I think a lot of people don't know, is it's been 3 years in the making, my TV show. I've also was a contestant on Animal Planet's show Top Hooker. So you might recognize me from that TV show that aired this past June.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of bringing that fan base to my show. And my mission with my TV show is to encourage more females and children to get involved in the outdoors. Because I didn't grow up hunting or fishing. And I have three older brothers. No one in my family hunts or fishes. I got into it myself. And it's kind of, I built this. This is kind of a dream come true, and I'm proof that, you know, if you work hard and believe in yourself, you really can, you know, succeed and follow your goals and make dreams come true.
Well, how long have you been involved in the outdoor sports?
I got into hunting about 5 years ago after college, and fishing, I got into fishing a lot more probably my last year of college.
Wow.
So I'm still relatively new. I'm 28 now, so really, you know, only a few years, and I'm a certified public accountant, a licensed real estate agent, and I kind of put that on hold, and now I self-produce and host my own hunting, fishing television show.
You're following your dream. That is incredible. Mm-hmm. Well, there's not too many people that can enjoy it and make a living at it, but I'm sure Pat has a couple of questions for you.
Well, actually, I do. What was the initial move to get into it? Who did somebody come to you and say you're gorgeous and you know how to hunt and fish and all this sort of thing? You could really do this well, or did you just come up with the idea that I can do this, and then you started talking to producers and that sort of thing?
I know I'm not trying to be like, you know, I'm another pretty face. No, I found my passion. You know, I got into hunting about 5 years ago, and I loved fishing, and it's born in me. I found my passion. And my biggest thing is I want to share it. And I kind of learned the business, really. I had to figure it out. I made friends, and I have, you know, mentors along the way that have their own TV shows. And I talked to them and, you know, figured out how to produce a TV show. And I've done this all myself. I'm self-made. I started my own production company. I own my show. And I've done it myself. You know, no one gave me the opportunity. I made the opportunity.
That's great. That's one of the great things about, you know, television now, is that there's so much opportunity for people to step in and do this kind of thing. If they're good enough, it'll be good, and people will watch it. That's the main thing. And then being able to attract women, that's a target audience that really we haven't really gotten a handle on yet here in our industry. We have quite a few people here in Southern California that hunt and fish, but the majority is men, so it's a great show. As I've been, there's a lot of people here that are watching the show, and they make comments about that you really know what you're doing.
Well,
I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to push that I am an expert. You know, I am kind of new at all this, but with my show, you know, it's more of a lifestyle show. You know, I travel all around the world, and I want a travel aspect. I want people to come along with me on my adventure, and I want them to learn with me. You know, I'm not trying to be an expert, but I'm with experienced guides and outfitters, and, you know, there is a learning aspect, and I want to spark people's interest, you know, and I'll take out females that have never fished or hunted before, and I'll bring them on a trip with me and teach them, and same with kids, you know, and a lot of people don't know I'm the ambassador for the state of Florida for a hunt of a lifetime, and we take children that have been diagnosed with a terminal illness on their dream hunt or fishing trip. So I have next month, I'm actually just planning a boy is coming down from Minnesota to catch his dream swordfish. And I'm going to go and take his family out. One of my friends is taking him out. I'm going to try to film it for my show as well and for the family. So it's just, I'm trying to get the kids off the couch, away from the video games, mm-hmm. off Facebook. Hey, let's go enjoy the outdoors, you know, put a fishing pole, line in the water, and, you know, get the families outdoors and enjoy it.
Well, you know, I have to comment. I know someone that's kind of interested in fishing, but he spends all his time on a screen using the fishing games, you know, which are, you know, okay, that's fine if you like it. But, man, it's so much different being out in the air, on the water. And yeah, there's some times when you kind of have to sit there and wait and be patient for a while, but that's really what we're trying to do with the show. And that's what Pat does. And that's what you're doing, is to grow that segment of the market. And obviously, Pat is going to be out of a job real quick if the young people don't start getting off the couch and going hunting and fishing.
Exactly. I don't know about that, but yeah. I notice you're a spear. You're a free diver.
Yeah, well, I'm not much of a free diver. I can't hold my breath too much. I do a lot of spearfishing. I use tanks. I actually just did a lobster season down here in Florida, the Keys. It started on Tuesday. I went down for mini season to Key West and caught some lobsters free diving. It's fun. I do a little bit of everything. I mean, I spearfish, I bowfish, I fly fish, offshore, inshore. Hunt, bow hunting, gun, everything. You know, I want to learn as much as possible and yeah. You know, encourage others to do the same.
Yeah, it's one thing about the show is that even though you may not be an expert in every avenue, you're probably better in some than others, like all people, that as you do the show, you kind of introduce people to the activity along with yourself. So that's a great
thing. Exactly. A lot of times, yeah, you'll see me catch a lot of firsts, you know, and hunt a lot of firsts. But at the same time, it's, you know, I want to encourage people, you know, it's never too late to start something in your life. You know, I didn't get into this until a few years ago. And you don't know if you'll really love it unless you try it, you know. And my biggest thing is trying to educate the general population of why we hunt and fish. I know my own family, when I discovered my passion for hunting, I come home and they were like, oh, geez, what is wrong with our daughter? She wants to go out and kill stuff. So, and it took me probably 2-3 years to get them to turn on to what I do. And my mom says it to say, well, it was a lack of education. I didn't understand it, so I judged it right away. Mm-hmm. When now that I actually understand what you're doing, that you eat what you bring home, and I'm eating it, and I get to watch your videos, and I understand the conservation side of it, and, you know, the it's all very regulated, and, you know, overpopulation, and so now, you know, and that's what I'm trying to bring through my TV show as well, you know, turn on people I've never even thought of hunting or fishing, and they see me do it, and they're like, ooh, if she can do it, I want to try it, and, okay. You know, get more people out there.
Larissa, we're going to run out of time here real quick. Before we do, we want to get some contact information for you personally, if you don't mind. Do you have a website or something?
Yeah, definitely. My website is LarissaUnleashed.com, and it's LARYSA, Unleashed. Twitter, L. Switlick, which is kind of difficult, but you can go to my website, and
there
I have all the links.
Find that.
Facebook, Larissa Unleashed as well.
Right.
And also, if you have a smartphone, you can download the app Sammy,
okay.
S-A-M-Y.
Well, let's start with the webpage, and don't confuse people, Larissa.
Larissa,
let's not confuse people. The website, again, is real quick, is LarissaUnleashed.com.
LarissaUnleashed.com.
Perfect.
LARYSA.
That'll Larissa do it. Unleashed. Larissa, we're going to follow you some more and keep up with you. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you,
all
guys.
Right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
You're right. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio with John Hennigan and Pat McDonald. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with you. Lake Cochuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Cochuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Cochuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that dries the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
It's better than a good day at work. A bad day of fishing just better than a good day at work.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have Mark Lassane from, he's the editor of Bass Angler Magazine on the line with us. And of course, I hope we still have Pat McDonald, who is the editor of Western Outdoor News, which we've talked a little bit about, and we're going to be talking to some more about, and probably maybe even in the next segment. And Mark, the Bass Angler Magazine, you haven't been around for as long as Western Outdoor News, but you're coming on strong.
Yeah, well, we've kind of been around 20 years, and, you know, we're getting there, inching up a little bit every year. Every issue just seems to get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bass Angler Magazine, I think from the name of the magazine, we probably get a clue about what you specialize in.
Well, you know, unlike other publications, we don't publish any news. You know, we're all about teaching you how to catch fish. So we come out every quarter with seasonally timed articles of how to help you catch more bass. So we're singularly focused on bass and focused on basically how to. So
right. Well, Pat covers everything, and I'm sure that you've got sections on bass fishing, but, you know, one observation is there's probably a lot more people catching trout than bass, but you never hear about any big-money trout tournaments, do you?
So, no, we try to. We actually have a couple here in Southern California at Irvine Lake and also at Big Bear. You try to make those fun.
Yeah.
Those are fun, and there's a ton of them up in the Eastern Sierra as
right.
well. So that's the idea is to get people to stay up there, not mm-hmm. to make money off of them. Big money tournaments are actually don't work out too well for freshwater because you end up finding people who go, those guys cheat.
Yeah, well, who would do that?
They did one up at the Monster Trout Derby up in the Eastern Sierra Opener every year.
Yeah.
And finally, it was like a $1,000 entry fee, and it was just always some controversy. So
yeah.
now they just give away chits for equipment and stuff
right.
like that. So
right.
it makes it a lot more friendly and fun, and that's just been usually the case. You know, down through time, is that trout tournaments are not as big as bass tournaments, and nor should they be.
Right. Now, Mark, I think that you can catch bass in probably not Alaska, but you can probably catch bass almost anywhere else, can't you, in the United States?
Yeah, you know, there are bass are available all over the world. They're definitely not in Alaska or Antarctica or, you know, anywhere where the water freezes over, mm-hmm. for 6 or 7 months of the year. But they're prevalent all over the United States, you know, and all over. Really a fun fish to catch. You know, bass tournaments, they have them because the fish are so hardy. We have live wells on our boats. You basically throw the fish in a live well, and it'll stay in there for, 8 or 10 hours and be just fine, and we can let them go after the tournament's over.
Well, yeah, I haven't thought about that part of it because you can do that with bass but not most of the others. Now, they're everywhere, but at what altitude? In other words, this is the time of the year a lot of people are heading for the Sierras or, you know, the Rockies or, you know, wherever you happen to live. And is it possible to go bass fishing in the mountains?
You know, like up at Lake Almanor it is. You get too high up at the small streams and places, you know, those are mainly just trout, not too many bass up in the little streams. And, generally bass fishermen are more lowland than highland waters.
Okay. Well, is there an elevation that they kind of peak out at?
That's a really good question. That might make a good article.
Okay.
But, I think I've caught them at, 4,000 or 5,000 feet.
Yeah.
Past that, I haven't seen them.
Okay. Well, you know what we're going to do now, if you don't mind, we're going to kind of jump in the middle of things, and we are going to go up to Lake Shasta and get a bit of a idea of what's going up there, and then we're going to come back and talk to you some more.
Okay.
So, if that's okay. And let's go ahead, and who do we have from Shasta? Oh, Kayleen, perfect. Go ahead and put her on. Kayleen, are you there?
Hi, John. How are you?
Oh, well, it's that time of the year, isn't it? And we're having such a good time. Kayleen, you are very privileged today.
Yes, I am. Here I am.
Well, we have the editor of Western Outdoor News and the editor of the Bass Angler co-hosting today, and they're going to grill you.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
You're in the midst of two magazines.
Uh-oh.
Magazine magnets. But the Lake Shasta is a beautiful place, but Lake Shasta is more than just Lake Shasta. It's kind of the beginning, you know, of, you know, fresh water that flows down through Central California. And it is, you know, and you've got Redding and you've got the, you know, the mountains nearby. But again, this is the time of the year. A lot of people are still, you know, for the next month or so, or maybe into September when school starts and they can, the serious people can get a chance, is to go out and put a line in the water. And Lake Shasta is a great place to do that because of the variety. You want to give us an idea?
Sure. What we do is we manage campgrounds out there. So you can go camping out there. Out at Shasta Lake, there is Shasta Caverns, which is a nice little boat ride out to the caverns. You get a beautiful view of Mount Shasta, which is, if you're from out of town, you got to come see that view.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a wonderful location out at Hearst Bay Lookout, and you can make reservations on recreation.gov. That's an absolute beautiful, it's up on top of a mountain, and it gives a great view of the lake as mm-hmm. well. And you can take a quick drive down to the lake and go fishing.
Well, I have to ask, or maybe I should let Mark Lazane ask, are there bass in Lake Shasta?
Yes, there are. And I hear people are catching a lot of big mouth bass.
Wow, okay.
Sending pictures in.
Well, you can help us with a question. What's the elevation of Shasta above sea level?
That's kind of embarrassing offhand. I'm trying to remember what the level is.
Well, we know.
But it's hot here, so it's not too high here.
Yeah. I think it's around 1,000 feet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're not too high.
Lake Shasta is a wonderful fishery. They have all three species of bass, smallmouth, largemouth, and spots. Spots are a prevalent bass there, and they're pretty easy to catch and really a lot of fun. And, you know, for those of you who like to eat them, spots eat pretty good, too.
And besides largemouth bass, you've also got almost everything in that lake, you know, different kinds of trout and different kinds of bass. And it's just a beautiful area, a great place. If you can just throw a fishing rod in the trunk of your car or an SUV is even better, or a camper or a camper trailer, and just head on up there. And if you don't have anything, you can probably head on up there anyway, can't you, Kayleen?
Exactly. It's always a beautiful view up here.
Well, you've got everything they need. Just go on up and talk to Kayleen, and she'll fix you up with a boat, tackle, rods, instructions, and maybe even accommodations.
We'll put you in the right direction.
There you go. Kayleen, that's great. Can you give us some quick information on how to get in touch with Lake Shasta?
Okay. We got www.shastalakecamping.com.
Okay, that's good enough.
Call our office.
Okay.
The information's all on the webpage.
Great. Okay, it's ShastaLakeCamping.com?
Yep.
Okay, and you can also go to FishTalkRadio.com, and on the left-hand side we can find it. Kayleen, thank you again so very much. I know you're busy.
Everybody have a good day.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, Mark, we found out there is bass, in, at least in Lake Shasta.
Yep, they're up at 1,000 feet there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mark, you know, when we talk about bass fishing, traditionally you think about somebody in a bass boat, you know, with about 600 horsepower, and they spend their time going 200 miles an hour from one side of the lake to the other, and then throwing 1,000 casts and taking off again. But
that's it.
Yeah.
fast and flash.
Yeah.
You know, we get the fancy boats, you know,
right.
All rigged up like a NASCAR and
right.
Big joint engine on the back. But
right. Well, what
but,
about
you know you can
yeah.
catch. You can catch bass anywhere on the, you know, from an inner tube or, you know, a dinghy or off the shore. So there's, you know, just a million different ways to catch them. Bass are a shallow water fish generally, so it's no problem catching them right off the bank.
Okay. Well, why don't you just give us a quick on off the bank on what you might suggest?
You know, probably one of my favorite ways to catch bass off the bank are with a wacky rig Senko. And that's using a regular kind of a sprout-style hook. And then a Senko is a real thick, kind of looks like a ballpoint pen shaped worm, and it's extra heavy, so you just rig this worm right through the center of the hook, rig the hook through the center of the bait, and basically you go up to a point or anywhere there's structure, a tree in the water, boulders, and you throw this out and just let it sink real slowly. It works great on a spinning rod with, you know, 6 to 10 pound line. Almost, you can almost throw it on a trout setup. If you're out trout fishing and you want to try bass fishing, you can just tie on a little bit bigger hook and maybe put on a Senko, you know, a clear color or a green or a brown, kind of maybe match the water color. Throw it near some structure and, you know, let it just sink slowly and hang on. It's this time of year, there's a lot of fish up shallow, and you can really have a great time doing that.
Well, last week we talked about fishing with frogs, but if you want to listen to that, you have to go online and hear it again. But that was a great segment. But now, one quick tip, if somebody wants to, do the bass come up and, you know, swallow the worm and chew on it, or when do you set the hook?
Well, generally, the fish, you know, fish don't have hands, so they don't come up and feel it. When you feel something, they have generally sucked that bait in their mouth, so you usually have them. You know, sometimes spotted bass, you know, they bite a little bit where they don't get the whole bait in their mouth. But generally, like a largemouth, when you feel a bite, he'll have it. So once you feel the bite and he starts swimming, he's probably had it for a couple seconds before you even realize that. So
okay. That's
the time, you know, with that wacky rig technique, you just want to pull back on the rod, just give it a little bit of tension,
okay. And
let the hook, the fish set itself.
Okay, so you don't swing for a home run. You just pull the line tight and start winding.
Right, just pull the line tight and start winding. Usually you're using a small hook, so if you try to swing, you know, swing for the fences, a lot of times you could just pull the hook right out of the fish's mouth and you're going to miss it.
Well, we're out of time again. Mark, real quickly, what is your website?
Go to bassmag.com, BASSMAG.com. Check us out. Go on there, subscribe, get our great magazine, and learn a lot more about bass fishing.
Well, I know I could use some of that. Okay, we appreciate having you on. And, Pat, please don't go anywhere. We're going to give you more time in the next segment because we have Bob Summerill coming up. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolffish, bullhead, halibut, hig, permit, cobia.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and as promised, now we have the big guns from Western Outdoor News. We have the editor, who is Pat McDonald, Western Outdoor News, and then we have one of his writers, which feature writer Bob Summerill for Western Outdoor News. So we're having a kind of a reunion show here today. So let's go ahead and introduce Bob because we haven't been on the air yet. Bob, are you there, Bob?
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Well, you haven't been had yet, but
well, I tell you, it sure is a good time to be out there fishing. I'm having a great time, you know, and thanks to Pat and all the guys at Western Outdoor News, I get a good chance to get out and fish offshore when I can, get up into the Sierras. In fact, my next trip next week will be up into the Sierras to go fish the Owens and the Walker and some of those rivers, as well as get up into some of the lakes. You know, the best thing about this season is the variety. Mm-hmm. You got so much you can do.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great places all over the United States, but the Sierras, you know, because they start in Bishop and go pretty much all the way up to, you know, Northern California. So there's just miles and miles and hundreds of lakes and streams and high mountains. And it's just a great place to go spend a weekend or a week just traveling around and camping. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. And maybe you can give some tips on, you know, what to do if you've got, you know, we have people that are professional, avid fly anglers, and then we have people listening to the show that they just want to take their kids out and catch a fish.
So, well, you know, you don't have to be a fly angler to make the fish happen on these waters up in the Sierras. The reality is that just about anything will work if presented well. And by well, I mean, look at what's going on, look what the conditions are like, what the fish are eating. If you can, turn over a few rocks. And then try to, as they always say, match the hatch in some way.
Or the bait, as the case may be.
Okay. Pat, you can, people are going to crank you up a little bit. Well, as far as people wanted to take out, Bob, why don't you just give somebody an idea if they, fishing's fun, but if you take a kid out and he puts a line in the water for 6 hours and doesn't catch any fish, that's not going to get him hooked.
No, that won't work. That won't work. Now, you know, old tried and true methods are probably the best way to start a kid out. Worm on a hook.
Oh, yeah.
Worm on a hook.
Is that with a bamboo pole and a piece of string?
I tell you what, it can work just fine in most conditions. Presented well, either in a lake with a bobber, you can do just fine that way. What would you say, Pat?
Oh, yeah. I think keep them busy, keep them hooked up. Bluegill, you know, just get them, mm-hmm. just get them to the thrill of it, and then make sure that you're not really fishing either, because you really need to pay attention to their needs.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be amazed if you show enthusiasm and excitement for them, then it just goes a long way. It's just like anything. It's like playing catch with a kid. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to encourage them.
And as far as equipment, I think that you would recommend, especially for a younger angler, a fly rod, or excuse me, a spinning rod?
Well, spinning or a closed spool rod, something with really easy action. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money, that's for sure. And like I say, you know, working bait is probably the simplest way to do it, although throwing a MEPS or throwing a spoon of some kind, mm-hmm. it just works great for the trout in most of those rivers and lakes. And that doesn't take much skill. A kid can learn it pretty quickly.
Well, the other thing about that is you just get to stay busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Keeps them working.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Hey, Pat, before we forget, Western Outdoor News they sponsor, I don't know how many tournaments a year, but there's a ton of them. And, of course, you know, people think, I've got an easy job because I get to talk about fishing. But Bob is the one that goes out in the fields and does it so he can write about it. But give us an idea a little bit about what Western Outdoor News has coming up for the rest of the year.
Well, I could list them all. Nobody remember them. But essentially, if you go to wonews.com, you're going to see that we have a lot of events. We have charters, which quite a few Bob attends and covers and does a great job. We have prizes. We usually give them a special price, and it's one of the top boats. So in terms of saltwater, that's what we do there. We also have three saltwater tournaments in Cabo, San Diego, and Catalina. And then we also have one of the Channel Island Shootout. Bob just covered that. And then we just did a bass tournament here in Long Beach. It was very successful. We worked with SBS, Saltwater Bass Series. And so we do a lot of tournaments, and we also have several freshwater tournaments. And if we're not actually running them, we're affiliated with a lot of them. So we're trying to be as involved as we can. You know, we're not Apple. You know, we're a newspaper.
Yeah.
We try to have as much influence and try to take care of our sponsors and make sure that we do a real a variety of things so that kids. People from the experts to the party boat guys to the young kids are all have something that they can do with on behalf of Western Outdoor News in some of our events.
Well, I tell you, that Ensenada tournament is a great bit of fun. I enjoyed covering it with you, Pat, last time, and I got to tell you, it's always a fun time.
Yeah, it is. Any tournaments we do are great, and we've got, it's funny, we got a really good one coming up. We have a very unique one. It's coming up. It's September 6th and 7th. Mainly it's September 7th, but check-in is the day before. It was at Dana Landing down in Mission Bay. Mm. We decided to do a very inexpensive inshore, offshore, biggest fish, tuna, yellowtail, and white sea bass, which means that biggest fish takes first, second, and third, which means the guy catching a white sea bass is going to be competing against a guy with a bluefin or a yellowtail. So,
okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, you know, a guy can stay inside and catch fish, or he can go hop out and go spend, you know, money on fuel and go out bluefin fishing. And then the weigh-in is gonna, and everything is going to be down at Dana Landing Market. So we're very excited about it, and it's $50 to enter.
Pat, you know,
it's very inexpensive for a saltwater tournament.
You know, I just kind of say what I think, and you never know what I'm thinking. But I just thought about the idea of tournament fishing, you know, or you know, the concept. It can be a lot of fun. Now, you know, I guess the biggest one that we're familiar with is the Bisbee Black and Blue. And you know, by the time you get your boat, your buy-in, and cover all of the side bets, you're over $50,000.
Well, let's get real. Okay. Yeah. Most of those guys are super wealthy guys, and they're inviting their friends down
right.
to fish. So
right.
most guys really get in right. around somewhere in the 6,000 to 10,000 to 12,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, it's 6,000 to 16,000. And then they have these other optionals, which
right.
are just for the super wealthy or stupid.
Right.
and then, you know, if you offer a $10,000 a day optional for 30, some guys are going to do it, and
yeah.
you're going to make more money at it. But
yeah.
the reality is that there's only a few people
right.
that
are going to throw that in. Right.
Generally, that tournament isn't that expensive if you want to just have
yeah.
fun and compete, just like ours in Cabo. It's
well, my
buy-in is not that much.
Right. My point is that, you know, there's that on one end, and then you've got everything in between from $50. But what I really like about the tournament that you do in November for the tuna, and it keeps growing quickly every year, and I think part of the reason for that, you know, the prizes are big. The fishing's great, but it's not, you know, it's a tournament that most people can afford if they want to.
Absolutely.
Well, John, you know, Pat just had a piece in the paper explaining that and showing the breakdown on the cost. And I got to tell you, it was really remarkable for me. I've never entered. I've never spent the money. I've seen the action. But I got to tell you, it's darned reasonable when you look at what it costs.
Thanks,
if you were to fly to Alaska as a comparison and do a week stay there, you'd spend more money.
I kept trying to explain that to people. And finally I said, you know, I just got to put it on paper. And
it showed well.
I got down with a calculator, and I said, you know, for $2,000, okay. you can do the whole tournament and actually win some serious money, and that's chartering, flight, everything. And
mm-hmm.
that's a trip. And so a lot of people go down to Cabo, and they fish for 2 days. They have a great time, and they go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they go out to dinner, and they go to sleep. They wake up, they go fishing. This tournament, for like $200 more, you're in three parties, you've got drawings for $150,000. You can win some serious money. It's a lot of fun. You're part of something. And it's really, I think, hit home to a lot of people that, you know, you don't have to spend an enormous amount of money to go and compete and have fun. And that's the main thing. Our motto down there is fish hard and party harder. And we, look, John, Bob, the only golden rule that we have down there is that nobody can have more fun than the director.
Well,
if you do, you're disqualified.
There you go.
You've proven that time after time.
Yeah, and it is fun. And of course, the people that listen to the show know my affiliation with Cabo. Yeah, but the other tournament, let's go ahead and mention the one in San Diego and compare that to what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, you don't have to fly anywhere. You just bring a boat down. It's a one-stop shop. Dana Landing down in Mission Bay, you fork over your $50, or you get into the $100 optional for the white sea bass, tuna, or yellowtail, and your buy-in is very, very little. I mean, if you're two guys who want to fish in the tournament and you don't want to get into the optionals, it's $100 for the two of you, and then you just go fishing. And then you come back, you get a barbecue, a hat, and a shirt, and goodie bag, and a chance to win $2,000 for first place.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of a no-brainer. You get $50, you're going to spend that on ice. So, right. Plus, you can park the boat. You can launch the boat for free. You can park your rig for free. You can Dana Landing is open. It's got tackle. You can stay at the Dana Inn, which is like 30 mm-hmm. steps away, and it's a right. beautiful four-star resort for like $150 a night if you want to bring your family. It's really quite a fun tournament, and the fishing has been, as Bob will tell you, has been phenomenal.
Well, I think we can learn some more about all this stuff because you can't cover it, but you can go to the website, which is?
WoNews.com. Which is our umbrella website, and then for the Cabo, it's very simple. You can just Google that easily enough, Cabo Tuna Jackpot, and it'll come up right away.
And then you go into that, and almost every week you'll probably find an article from Bob about something.
He's got one in this week about the Oceanside 95, and I'm going to be on the Ocean Odyssey on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Okay. And so we got plenty of fun stuff in the paper besides just the tournament.
Well, Western Outdoor News is certainly a legend, so, and the website is WONEWS, wonews.com, right? Okay, we appreciate you guys hanging in there. Pat, you stick around. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in.